Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day, and that, of course, is the New York Knicks, BT, winning their second straight game here, take a 2-0 lead over the Philadelphia 76ers. My issue, though, is I felt after game one that the Knicks could not win this series playing the way that they did in game one. And I feel like that even more after watching the second game. Outside of the result, which I know means everything, you want to win, but it's only two wins. It takes four to win a best of seven. This isn't a best of three, despite what some Knicks fans are saying or acting like. To me, the Knicks cannot beat the 76ers if they continue playing like this.
Well, they're certainly testing the limits on that theory, because every night that they play, they're winning exactly the way that you say that they can't continue to win. And I hear what you're saying. It's not how you draw it up. You know, I do think they're playing a lot better than you think in certain areas. I don't want to just always regurgitate the stats. But, you know, think about, and we compare it loosely, like the heart of this team with the heart of the 90s team. There was a lot of games where the Knicks won back then, I'm talking about, where they shot sub 40% overall from the field, not even just from downtown. Bricklayers from the free throw line, turnovers. Patrick coughed it up a lot. I'm not trying to, you know, diss him, but, you know, didn't have the best hands. And the Knicks won because the game was whistled differently. They literally out-physicaled you, but they didn't do anything from a skill point of view that would make you think that they really truly deserve to win. I understand the conundrum here. The Knicks are... We're watching these games. The Sixers are jumping on them. Both games, you know, large deficits. Knicks have to play uphill in terms of stats. The two best players, points per game, clearly on Philly. But they are doing a lot of things beneath the surface. You know, they're rebounding better. They're more protective of the ball. They have more assists. They have a better free throw percentage. So it's a little bit of everything, and it's very unconventional. But at the end of the day, Sal, you know I think they're tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're deeper. And I think they're a lot smarter than Philly.
I agree with all that. We disagree with where I think that has its limitations, where you're going to need your superstar to play well to win a series, especially when you're going against a team with two superstars. And Embiid and Maxey have by far been the best players on the floor. But all those other things have been in favor of the Knicks. Toughness, want, desire, will, whatever you want to say, energy, effort, all that stuff. The Knicks have had that be their advantage, which is in part a little bit of luck, but that as well, why they have won the first two games of this series. So do we, think it's sustainable to continue this way? Or if they keep going like this, is it going to be the superstars who prevail? It's the superstar talent of Embiid and Maxey, even a compromised Joel Embiid at this point, was clearly not 100%. Is it the talent versus all those other things that we love, the heart, desire, determination? And so far through two games, it has been the heart and desire and determination over the talent. I do not think that that will prevail in a best of seven. That's where we disagree.
Yeah, we do. And I do, pardon me. I think that if... All right, so we focused on Brunson's inefficiency. That's the secondary story. The main story is Knicks are up 2-0.
Yeah, I think if Brunson...
How they've gotten there.
Sorry, BT. I think if Brunson were playing well,
yep,
I'd feel totally different about it.
No, see, that's where I'd say... Then I'd say, well, what happens if Brunson has a bad game? There's no margin for error. See, for me, there's only margin for uptick, and I'll tell you why. And it's not just applicable to Brunson. Brunson's played awful. We all know this. Embiid and Maxey have played phenomenal. So I think, and the Knicks are up 2-0, I think if Embiid and Maxey, or even one of the two, were playing, then I could sit here and say, like, pragmatically, like, completely without emotion, all right, Maxey's better than he's played, he's going to get going, margin for error shrinks. Philly's two best players have been great. The Knicks' best player's been atrocious. And they're still up.
Right, but
so it's not just the Brunson inefficiency. It's that their stars have played great, and they still can't win.
Right, but that's what they always do. Won. Their stars, and they haven't played a home game yet. I mean, there should be a big advantage there as well.
That's true.
Their stars always play well, and eventually they're going to start to get the benefit of a whistle or a bounce, and they're going to win one of these games that the Knicks have been fortunate to win. Without Brunson doing what he needs to do, I don't see how the Knicks can win the series. So if you want to paint the picture and say, well, yeah, Brunson's going to bounce back and in either game three or game four have a vintage Brunson-like performance, then I'd say, yes, I could see the Knicks winning the series. But if it continues to go like this, now, I said that after game, I said that going in, really, but I said that certainly after game one, wow, they cannot play like that and win the series. And they did play like that, and they won game two. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say that I don't believe they can play like that and win the series, and I'm even more concerned now about Brunson. See, if Brunson were playing well,
yeah,
then I'd say, yeah, maybe the Knicks could steal a game with him not playing well. They could steal a game with their depth. One game. Not sustain that. And so far, they've gotten two games. Could they sustain it and get four? Maybe. I don't believe that that's going to be the case.
I'm going to throw something at you, and then we'll get back to these calls. 877-337-6666. I'm going to hit you with a probability factor that I'm just making up on the fly here. All right, but... Yeah, I thought about it as you were finishing up
like
your sentence.
These,
I think this will make some sense here. I think it's more probable that the 76ers duo has a, one of them at least, has a bad game and the Knicks win again rather than Brunson having a great game like we've grown accustomed to and the Knicks winning. Because I'll give you this. The matchup defensively, Sixers have his number.
It's not just two games.
All season. They've got his number. They've got length. They trap him. They pick him up 94 feet. Even just getting the ball on handoffs from Hartenstein, how they do that. You watch the Knicks, what I'm talking about. Like, even that is a little problematic. So I think on a probability meter or scale, I think it's more probable the next game the Knicks win is more because Embiid or Maxey or both probably won is a little down rather than Brunson being astronomically up.
Right. I could see that. But I also think that might be in part because of Embiid being compromised.
Hey.
I know. I'm just saying.
Not my problem. You know what I mean? Randall's out. Tough. Things happen.
I get it. I'm just saying that like those guys can perform consistently at a high level. So the only reason why I could see maybe a little bit of a downtick or a drop would be because of Embiid being compromised.
Well, no, Maxey can miss some threes. Maxey's been banging threes all series. He can have a night where he's 2-for-9.
Yeah,
it's possible.
I mean, I don't know about that. And if I were him, I would just have him keep shooting the basketball. I just feel like Brunson has to get going, and he hasn't been able to get going against this team. I don't believe what they're doing is sustainable here. And we're going to find out. We're going to see it play out.
Yeah.
But if the Knicks lost last night, let's say, which, I mean,
in my mind, I'm sitting there saying,
well, that's what I wanted to get to.
Well, you know what I was really saying? It's going to be rough in here tomorrow.
I know the same thing.
Because I already see this guy tweeting, going live with like five minutes to go.
Well, you did that for the podcast.
For the pod, right?
Yeah.
I said, in my mind, I'm saying, I already know what he's teeing up. I already know. And then DiVincenzo misses the first one. And I'm like, we went after it yesterday with DiVincenzo as a focal point. And so I'm already sitting here predisposed in my mind. It's going to get ugly in the studio today, you know. And then, so I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking we're going to lose. Right. I never gave up fully in I swear to God, never was fully resigned because even my son said, Dad, there's time. And I'm like, you're right.
But
there is time. And the way, it's funny. I was watching the first game. My dad told you we came back from my son's game. And we watched it on DVR. Like, didn't know what happened. And my dad still watches the NBA, and he knows the NBA very well. He used to a lot more. I don't know that he's quite in tune with how fast things can change. Like, you're down six with 51 seconds. That's an eternity.
It has
back
changed.
In the day. The game was over.
Right,
hit one free throw, three possession, done. So when I looked at the clock and the deficit, I'm like, there's a chance. But I'm sitting there saying, I'm going to have to deal with this guy tomorrow.
Right. Now, not that I would be coming in taking bows, but I'd be saying the same thing I'm saying now. It just would have hit more after a loss. So that's my point, is that if they lost that game and it's 1-1, now what would we be saying going into game three? The theory, or to me, the topic would be, or the talking point would be, hey, Brunson's got to get going here. Like, they need Jalen Brunson. So I'm saying the same thing that I would have been saying had they lost that game. It doesn't change in my mind just because the result changed. Because in reality, they lose that game 99 out of 100 times. Maybe the first game, they lose that game 90 out of 100 times. Whatever it may be, they've won these games, and you give them credit for that. I just don't believe it's sustainable. And if I felt one way that, 30 seconds to go in the game last night, I'm not changing that just because they won.
I understand that. I get it.
So that's kind of...
You're consistent with that. It is logical. The only thing that I really disagree with from yesterday was the things the Knicks did really well in game one. But remaining married to why you think this is going to be a rough road if the Knicks keep playing this way, I understand what you're saying.
Right. And it would, like I said, it would have been backed up more had they lost that game.
True.
But... still, which is why I use the Jets-Giants as an example, because the Jets won the game, but did they really win the game? And you and I, we fought. Yeah, they did win the game. Yeah, but,
The Giants were basically going backwards by design.
I'm telling you, I'm just worried about this series still. I'll feel better about it. I'll start counting the surf sides when the Knicks get one of these next two games. They got to get one. Now, you think they will?
I said Knicks in six. Could I see them losing two? It's not beyond the realm. I mean, they're not insurmountable.
Yeah, but if they don't win one of the next two,
they come back 2-2.
But now the Sixers have whole new life.
Fantastic.
Knicks are scared. Like,
Knicks will never be scared.
You go up.
Were you going to say Knicks will be scared?
Oh,
I thought I heard scared. Scared? This is the one team that's not scared of anything.
You go up 2-0.
They're just not.
You got to cement it by going up 3-1.
They're not scared of
anything. I'm not saying 3-0.
Yep.
3-1.
Remember what I said before the series, like, this team and the way they played all year, and Randall going down and OG going down and all the different, in one season, they basically had three or four different teams, right?
Dealing with adversity.
Barry was here. Crazy, right? And I said to Sal, based on their heart and their aptitude and their connectivity, that's the exact word I use, connectivity as a team. If the Knicks lose a game, if they lose game one, I'll fully expect them to come back and win game two. If they lose game three, I'll fully expect them to come back and win game four. So on and so forth. Now, that's not blind faith in a team that I don't think is good enough to win a championship. I don't think that they can win the championship. I've said that. But I'm just fixated on this series. It is more, and I realized this a while ago with this team, the realization that there's just something different about these guys. And I think too many people thought the Knicks' biggest advantage during the regular season was that the Knicks play harder than everybody. And sometimes that's true. In the NBA, if you're committed to playing some defense and just showing a modicum of interest, you can overachieve. The Knicks did it in 2020when Tom Thibodeau first got here. But these guys, that's why I keep stressing intellect. I feel like they're still improperly positioned. They're tough. They play for each other. They're deep. They shoot the ball. They're smart. Their aptitude is through the roof.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nick is on Staten Island. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Say, PT, I don't know how you're putting up with Sal with this conversation.
He disagrees.
Really,
it's all good.
Unbelievable.
He disagrees.
I know. It's great. It's great. He makes a lot of good points. He does make a lot of good points. But I don't think, Sal, I don't think you're really seeing the big picture. And or if you've been watching the Knicks all year long. Mm-hmm. They're an unbelievable team. They're destined.
Right.
They're destined.
Destined for what?
Philadelphia's doing a destined to win this series. And I agree with you, BT. I don't think they're going to win the championship.
Okay. You're just going to
throw
the line there. Yeah.
They're still short.
Well, why not? Wait, Nick. Why can't they win the championship?
Well, listen, they could do anything. Anything could happen.
Well, why don't you think they're going to win the championship? Why don't you think they're going to win the championship, though?
I just think that, you know, when you're looking at the teams in the West, you're looking at some of the teams that they would have to go through. They got to battle everybody in the East. I just think Minnesota is unbelievable.
Forget about this. The Celtics. Focus on the Celtics. Don't worry about the West.
Right. And
why
though?
Just focus on the Sixers, really.
But there's a clear answer. Why? Why don't you think so?
Just answer him. I know what he's fishing for. Answer him.
Listen. You know, I know you're fishing for an answer.
I'm not fishing for an answer. I'm asking you the question. There is an answer to it, and you refuse to answer it. Why? Why don't you think?
Tell me what the answer is.
Well, no. We'll get there. Why don't you think the Knicks could beat the Celtics or a team from the West? There's got to be a reason, and what is it? I'm curious to know.
And I said it at the top of my conversation.
Which is?
I said I think that they're just short that one big guy.
Right. They're not talented enough. That's the issue.
Oh, no, I disagree with that. No.
You just said they're shorter guy. You just said they're shorter guy.
This core of team from Villanova, they know how to win. And what's happening with this team is everybody around them is building into that same culture. And they have a winning attitude. And that's where, BT, that's where I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree that.
So then why would that stop, though, Nick? Why would that have its limitations? Because you're right. Well, they do have that winning culture. They're deep. They play together. They play hard. So why then would you say that they can't beat the Celtics or a team from the West? Why?
Well, I think they can beat the Celtics. They've proven that during the course of the year.
Right.
They beat the Celtics.
Okay. So you have them losing in the finals then?
I have the Knicks. Listen, I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
We got
you. I'm in
my
60s. Right. I've been watching these guys play, the Knicks play forever. I am so impressed with these young guys. I am so impressed with what happened last night. My face, my nose was about an inch from the television. My wife was hysterical laughing at me because I was screaming at the TV with such excitement.
And I'm sure you weren't alone, and thank you for the call, Nick. I'm sure you weren't alone in that. See, it's funny to me.
Both of my kids were up. I'm sorry, teachers. They'll be a little tired today.
It's funny to me.
It's Nick time.
And we talked about this yesterday and a little bit today. Like, it is funny how we can watch the same game and feel totally different.
Yeah.
So aside from, and I get the excitement from Knick fans, I'm not looking at it from a Knick fan perspective. I'm looking at it from a broadcaster perspective and part Knick fan as well. I see more concerns and question marks and fears in game two in the way that that game played out than I do encouraging things to feel good about.
I get that. All right. So, and I know you won't take this the wrong way, but I hope you don't. All right. So I admit, and I've said this for a while, it's almost impossible to be a fervent NHL fan and NBA fan.
Right.
At some point, something's got to win out.
Right.
Now, you could do the juggle if you love. Like, I think Marash is pretty much both. Big Nets guy, mm-hmm. Big Rangers guy. There's a few others. It's hard because they play during the same season.
Right.
So if I say to you, Sal, how many Knick games did you watch this year? Like, just give me a ballpark number, regular season. Give me a number.
I mean, enough.
And I'm not trying to do you dirty.
No,
there's
well,
a point here,
care.
Though. At all. Like,
yeah.
Put
it this way. When everybody was healthy, a lot more than after everybody started going
over
down.
Over under 20.
Over. Easily.
Over under 30.
Over that. I'd say at least 50. Uh-oh. Yeah, at least 50.
Okay. So then it doesn't
go. From start to finish?
Well, I mean, enough to get a set.
100%.
I was asking because if the number was like 20-ish or 25 going back and forth watching the Rangers, which I get, you're a big hockey fan.
No, I watch more Knicks than
Rangers. Got to squeeze those Islanders in as well. I think my response would have been the reason why I'm maybe more confident than you is because I've seen them do this a lot this
right.
year. Like, this is not some script that's foreign to me. Like, oh, my
Understood.
God, how are they going to keep doing this? They thrive under adversity.
Understood, but we agreed to where I said, you know what? They've proven me wrong without Randall, without Ananobi.
Yep.
They got themselves to a two seed. If I ask you the number one reason how they did that, your response would be?
Well, it would be Jalen Brunson
right.
is the first answer.
So now I'm watching two games. I don't care how many I watch in the regular season. I'm watching now two in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And their best player, who we both said should be the MVP, or at the very least get MVP.
Get big-time votes. He won't win it, but he should get votes.
He's done nothing.
Yeah.
And now they've managed to win two games. That was not the norm in the regular season. Brunson was always the focal point.
Yep.
The other guys did enough. It was a question mark of, is it going to be enough with Brunson being the number one? Can they overcome without Randall? You know, Ananobi coming back was a big deal. It wasn't without Brunson. Mm-hmm. Can this group be enough?
Oh, I mean, no, absolutely not. But the things that now, again, go one layer below that surface, like, yeah, all right, how did they win all these games? How did they get 50? How did they get the two seed? Brunson was the engine. But right below that surface are things that they were doing then they're still doing.
Right.
The Knicks were an amazing rebounding team all season. And they would have been ranked higher if Mitchell Robinson didn't miss 50 games. The Knicks were an amazing three-point shooting team.
But then let me ask you.
And they hit 46% of their threes in game one. So the things that they did outside of Brunson, they're doing.
Right. But then why would you then put a floor on what they could do or a ceiling on what they could do?
Well, I just think that the Celtics have two better players.
Okay, so
I'm talking about the Sixers. I didn't. I said Knicks and six. Right now, I think probably five, but I'll stick with six.
Right.
If the Knicks play the Bucks, I want to see where Giannis is. I've got to really take that temperature. Knicks have a real chance to win that series.
So
I'm not putting a ceiling. It's not as visible as you make it out to be.
Right. Well,
I know this Knicks team can go real far.
Right.
Or I think they can.
But we're also, and I don't want to look ahead to series two or series three. This series still has to go here. But there's a reason why some people, logically speaking, say that, oh, you know what, the Celtics are favored. They're not just, like, it's not about the Knicks. It's about how good the Celtics are.
Maybe,
and you
maybe,
can talk
maybe
about two
we're
better
all
players.
Wrong when we say
maybe.
That's the other thing.
Well, but
doesn't
right.
mean we're going to be right.
Correct.
I don't love their coach.
It doesn't. But this is more than, this is not me ignoring what the Knicks have done well. It's saying that what the Knicks are great at, I don't believe can carry you in the NBA's postseason.
But can it carry them past the Sixers?
Maybe. We're going to find out.
That's again, if you rebound, if you get to the free throw line, and if you hit threes, I mean,
I still don't believe that it can.
It's a recipe to win.
I still don't believe that it can, but for two games so far, it has. I mean, that's, you're right. We're going to find out ultimately. Forget the second round, forget the third round. Can it carry them against the Sixers? Without Brunson doing the job, the Knicks have got it done for the first two games. Can that continue? I don't think it can. BT, of course, you do think that this is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sustainable. More of your calls on the other side. BT and Sal on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers against Detroit at Yankee Stadium on Saturday, May 4th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And The Fan. We'll have Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie coming up at 1240, so we'll have some fun with that. You know, it's odd, BT. As a Knicks fan, you know, it's hard to ignore what I'm seeing with a level, logical head. Now, we could see it different ways. I know you're a Knicks fan, too, and you see it differently than I do, and I know Knicks fans just want to hear excitement. Like, they don't want to hear the truth of the matter, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I don't think they're going to win this series if they continue to play like this. But I got to be honest with how I feel. And it goes against the fandom. The fan part is, oh, my God, look at the Knicks. Yeah, they're up 2 games to none. This is great. Screw the Sixers. I hate Philadelphia. Can't wait to see the Knicks bury them, break out the brooms. But realistically, I just, in my gut, don't feel like that's going to be the case. And I still really do think the Sixers are going to win the series if the Knicks continue to play like this.
Listen, I'll admit, it's a tough juggle. You know, sometimes the fan part in me is not in line with the, right, you know, the logical side or the pragmatic side pertaining to whatever we're talking about.
Sucks for the playoffs, though, specifically.
Yeah.
Like regular season baseball, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of react night to night, whether it's Judge, whether it's Lindor, whatever. But here, I feel like the fan part is in line with what I would say completely convicted if I was not
right,
a fan.
But I guess my dilemma is that for you, that's great because it makes it more enjoyable for you.
So far.
For me, it does not.
Well,
and that sucks.
Sound a little conflicted there, Sal.
No, it's not conflicted. It's just the reality. Like, I don't believe in this team. I'm sorry. I mean, there's no other way
but
to say
it. But you also didn't believe in DiVincenzo all season.
Correct.
So why would you start thinking, you know, they're believing in him now?
I don't believe.
Well, then that's the problem. You should have believed in him during the season.
Oh, I wouldn't. By the way, even in the postseason,
he earned it.
How did he do in game one?
Sal, forget about it. He wasn't on the court in the fourth quarter.
Okay, right. But there have been two games, and that's part of my problem. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't play well on occasion. I'm not saying he doesn't play with good heart and energy. I'm just saying that he's inconsistent. And for me,
but he's not inconsistent. I mean, game one to game two was very different. I'm going to give you that.
Right.
He played, you know, awesome last night. Game one, he was borderline invisible. But during the, you know, 82, I don't even think he played 80 because he hurt his hamstring.
And the knock,
if he played 75, 68 or 70 were highly efficient and consistent.
My knock on him, the biggest knock on him was that he can't be the second best scorer on a team that's going to be considered a team that could do damage. That's my issue. So it's not like, oh, DiVincenzo sucks as a player. Like, there have been a billion guys that I don't think are good basketball players, whether it's Evan Fournier, Steve Novak. Like, oh, you can name a million guys. I'm not saying that about DiVincenzo. I think he's a good basketball player. I don't think he could be the starting two guard on a team that's going to do damage or be the second scoring option. By the way, Anunoby has been extremely disappointing
been
in
quiet.
This year so far.
But you know what? If he misses a free throw last night, we're sitting here with a different tone.
Yeah, and
I get it.
The Knicks have – here's where I'll give the Knicks credit. They put themselves in position to make one shot that changes the entire game. Like, even Anunoby, who's had a bad game, like a bad couple of games here in this series, he hit a big shot in game one that turned out to be the difference. Jalen Brunson, or a big part of why they won. Jalen Brunson's been awful. He put himself in a position. He got the lucky bounce, whatever. He hit a big three. DiVincenzo missed the first one, hits the second one. Now, that's a testament to Hartenstein and the rebounding, the effort, but they're playing with fire, and the logic in my mind here, the logical part of me, if I ignore the fandom part, says they are going to get burned by a Sixers team who is not smart, not tough, but dangerous because of the talent with Embiid and Maxey.
Well, listen, again, Knicks aren't winning the championship this year.
So we agree there.
Yeah, no, we definitely agree there. And I'm going to stop because I don't want to start getting to, oh, Celtics, Bucks. Mm-hmm. No, they're not going to win the championship. Denver, they're not good enough yet, right? Got to make a big, big flex this summer. And this is the summer I think it comes. But I feel pretty confident saying this. When they lose whatever series that they do lose, they will lose to a very talented team and a very tough team. Sixers are talented. They're not tough. If a non-tough team is not taking out these Knicks.
Yeah, and I love that.
I just don't see that happening.
I love that if that is the case. I just, without Brunson again going, I don't know how the Knicks are going to get this one. BT and Sal on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Frank is in Cedar Grove. What's up, Frank?
Cedar Grove. Cedar Grove.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Over the Panthers.
What's up, Frank?
BT, good shout-out with the Panthers.
I got you.
Sal, this is why I disagree with you, Sal. If I didn't watch the game at all, and someone told me that Maxey and Embiid scored 70. The Sixers and Knicks were virtually tied in rebounds, and Brunson shot under 25%. I would have thought that the Sixers beat the Knicks by 10-plus points.
That would have sounded like 118-94 Philly.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there, BT, and that's why after game one, I was like, oh, the Knicks are not going to get the 42-6 outscoring from the bench, out-rebounding them by 20 points. There's a happy medium between game one and game two. I don't know how the Sixers are going to find a third scorer out of nowhere. And I don't know how they're going to get a better performance than what they got from Maxey and Embiid. Now, bench scoring is going to go better and improve when they go home. But how much better is it going to be than last night's game in terms of a matchup and tying the Knicks and rebounding?
It doesn't have to be better. They just need to be smarter. Sixers need to be tougher and smarter. If they continue to play the way that they've played as far as the production from Maxey and Embiid and have either Lowry or Batum chip in, if they continue to play that way, basically if I'm the Sixers, I continue to shut down Brunson. If you do that and get the production from Embiid and Maxey and just play with a little bit of smarts and toughness, they're going to win games three and games four. That would be the recipe. Now, can they shut down Brunson yet again? I don't know. Can they get that same performance from Embiid, who seems hobbled? I don't know. I assume that they could if he's somewhat able to, you know, stand on his knee. Maxey, I have no worries that he's going to be able to do what he could do. Now, maybe he could get to another level. I don't think they have to, though, BT. I think if the Sixers do what they've done in the first two games and add an element of want, desire, and toughness, now maybe they don't have that in them.
Yeah, I don't think you stumbled. I don't think you stumbled upon that now, mid-series. Now, it's either you or it's not.
Well, I will say, you're at home. If you can't play with more heart and toughness at home, I mean, you're just a bunch of dogs, the bad kind of dogs.
Then, right? Yeah, I mean,
which is very possible.
Yeah. I mean, they play eight players. Last night, I think they played eight, one of whom played 9 minutes, the backup center, who was yapping his mouth, you know, coming into the series.
What's his name? Reed.
Yeah, he's actually been okay.
Yeah, they talk tough, but they play soft.
Yeah, you want the Knicks, you got them.
Oubre, same thing. They run their mouth, they talk tough. My God.
Yeah, Oubre's a little chatty there. So they've got eight guys. Backup center barely plays, understandably. One of the eight that they played, I've got profound respect for Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's 38. And I don't know what happened at the end of that game, but he got a little banged up. And
you see him dive into the stands there?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I want to see, I mean, I hope he's okay, because I think Kyle's, you know, one of the great dudes in the NBA.
I wish he was a Nick in his prime.
Ah, me too. Even on this team, man. But the center has one good knee, and the guard, who is an amazing scorer at this point, is physically weak and is getting pushed around. That's Maxey.
Yep.
Ball's getting ripped out of his hand. So,
yeah, by Deuce McBride, I mean.
And others. So a banged-up superstar center who's played nine games and is always hurt, a two-guard or, you know, a little combo guard who does whatever he wants but just physically gets punked. And I love Maxey, but he's not there yet physically. And no bench. Like, that's not a recipe to beat these guys.
No.
You know, the thing, too, as good as Embiid is, and his numbers are amazing, but I never once got the impression, even with the 29 points in game 134 last night, because the Knicks centers, they have two of them, and they're very different. You see the way Hartenstein passes, those little flip shots, either hand. You know, Mitch is obviously a little thicker, maybe, and a better defender of the rim, though Hartenstein's good as well. Like, even with Embiid getting his numbers, I don't feel like the Knicks are getting abused by Embiid. I know that that's odd because he's getting his points, but
yeah, but he's not dominating the game.
It's not like it's Shaq or Young Ewing or David Robinson. I mean, again, Embiid historically is amazing, but specific to this series and the Knicks centers, Knicks got answers. They do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app. Now, time for Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth with Brenton Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, here we go. What do you got for us? We do this every Tuesday at 12:40, I think. The weeks just blend by and the time slide by, I forget. But every Tuesday, 12:40, little bald face lie, bald face truth. Hoff, what do you got?
So we will start with you, Sal.
Yeah.
And the Yankees lost again yesterday. It's been a rough go. There was not much hitting.
Who'd they play yesterday?
Hoffy.
Oh, sorry. Aaron Boone will sit Aaron Judge tonight. Bald-faced truth or bald-faced lie? Sal, you're first.
It's a great question. I do not know who's pitching for Oakland. I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I think Judge has to sit here at some point. He's been that bad, BT. I know we're going to do more on this tomorrow. Obviously, look forward to getting into it. The fact that this Yankee team can be shut out as many times as they have been, the fact that this Yankee team can be shut out by Oakland, of all teams, and Judge is front and center, I mean, you know, we're almost a month in now. We're getting toward the end of April, and Aaron Judge has done nothing. I do think Boone's got to sit. Honestly, that's a bald-faced truth. Boone will come back, actually attempt to manage this game in its entirety, and give Judge a little bit of a breather.
I'd be a little surprised if he sits tonight. Not that I would be able, I haven't have a problem with it. I think it's a bald-faced lie. I think he'll play. By the way, Blackburn's pitching. He's a righty. So if you are going to sit him, you know, maybe you do it, but or you get him off his feet,
get
just
DH
him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grisham's done nothing. I mean, he's only got like 15, 16 at-bats. Yeah, he played over the weekend, Grisham. I think that there's two ways to attack this. Sit down, clear your head, or just keep going in there and get your timing. If that's really what's plaguing him, I don't even know. I don't even think it's timing at this point. I just think he might be hurt. I do think that a little bit. Ball-faced lie. I think you'll run him back out there and hope he runs into one sooner rather than later.
They have no more afternoon games, all three night games now, right, with Oakland?
Yeah. Yes.
He'll probably sit one of these, I would think.
Yeah, one of the four. I just don't think it's going to be tonight, but you never know.
Okay. What do you got, Huff?
BT, this is for you. Mm. Okay, congratulations. Zach Wilson's officially killed. On side note. Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold will be week one starters for the Broncos and Vikings. Bald-faced truth or bald-faced lie?
Okay, Broncos, Vikes. I think that that's a bald-faced lie because I'm not sure I can say both of them will be. I think there's a chance Darnold will be. Even though I think there's a real chance the Vikings make that crazy draft move and get a quarterback here. But I can see Darnold, even if they make a move and get a quarterback on Thursday, maybe he starts, plays, you know, two, three games, and you take the training wheels off and you give the young buck some run. So I can see Darnold. Wilson, they don't have much of a quarterback room at all. I mean, there's a chance, but I mean, I've just seen too much of them, so I just have to, by default, say bald-faced lie.
Is this the accurate quarterback depth chart right now?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Jared Stidham.
Stidham, yeah. And Zach.
Ben DiNucci.
Oh, that's right. DiNucci.
And about Zach it. Wilson.
DiNucci.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's rough.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say bald-faced truth. Eh, what the hell? What's the difference? Nobody's keeping track of these anyway. Here's the one reason why I would say lie, BT, is that I wouldn't want Peyton to do what the Jets did. I don't think Peyton's dumb enough to just throw Zach Wilson to the Wolves. However, you know, year five, different team. Mm-hmm. He's got the skill set, clearly. And you look at the rest of the competition. That's why you look at the rest of the competition and maybe Zach can show him something in training camp. I don't anticipate. I mean, are the Broncos going to get somebody right now?
They might.
They're not a top pick.
No, not one of the draft guys.
No, I'm talking about
round two or something. Like I can see him doing something like that.
Or even just are they going to go get a veteran? They're not going to start a rookie. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Tyrod signed. I mean, is Ryan Tannehill signed yet? I don't think he is.
Right now, Zach Wilson is the Broncos' starting quarterback.
Listen, you said something smart there, so I know we have one more here, Hoff. You get him in shorts and shells, and he's throwing the ball around, the arm, the quickness, the off-platform stuff. In his own arrogant, again, that's not a bad thing. That's just a belief and a conviction on what you do from Sean Payton's perspective. There's no way that Jarrett Stidham is going to look more talented than Zach when they're messing around OTA 7-on-7s and stuff. So... You know, and then he can say to himself, well, we have a little bit of a better O-line. If they do, I'd have to look at it again. I mean, then again, it couldn't be much worse.
We'll do this. We could do that. You know,
yeah,
he's
we could tweak some things here. Maybe he does. I'm rooting for Zach. I think he's a good kid who got done a little dirty by a franchise that's been a mess.
I'd love to see him start and have some success.
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for him. Yeah. I truly am rooting for Zach Wilson.
BT's got Zach's back.
I do.
Never forget.
Playoffs with Zach.
Denver, imagine that.
And final one. Sal started off. We're going to the Ranger game tonight. Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Matt Rempe, listen to closely, will get a 5-minute major in game two tonight. Not a fight, but a 5-minute major regardless.
I'm going to say that's a bold-faced truth. I think Rempe drops the gloves tonight. I think he's going to light the crowd up. It's game two. Rangers probably be up big. Capitals maybe try some antics.
Yeah? Is he going to score another goal?
Maybe just rooting it into existence. I don't think he'll score another goal. I would say that's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I get the feel tonight, BT. Series might start to get out of hand a little bit here. Rangers go up. Yeah, well.
Desperation from the Caps.
You already felt like that in game one. Yeah, Wilson, that nasty you-know-what. Maybe Rempe takes him down. I'm going to say it's a bold-faced truth, plus I want to see it.
Of course you want to see it. Yeah. You're going to be there. You definitely want to see it.
I don't love fighting in hockey. I would love to see Rempe knock Wilson's teeth out. That would be fun.
I hear you. I'm going to say bold-faced lie. Rangers are just infinitely better. Now, I do think there will be a temptation from the Caps to muck it up. Is there only chance to maybe scrounge something out in the series? They basically have no shot. Rangers are just a lot better. But I feel like Rempe is, I'm almost convinced myself I want to go the other way. Because
I'll help you, BT. Can I help you? Reason why I would? Because Rempe won't do it unless his teammates tell him to. Mm-hmm. That's what I've basically been looked at. And they don't need to fight. He doesn't need to take a major. He doesn't need to, unless they do something really dirty to Shesterkin, there's no reason for Rempe, or as somebody else, there's no reason for Rempe to get involved because they need him for later on.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Will you be locked in tonight, BT?
Nah. I'm watching the Yankees. Okay. I'm going to watch the Rangers a little bit, sure.
But locked in? Now, when does
not
that...
Not locked in.
Fair enough.
When next does round.
That, okay. Same,
next round.
Kind of the same.
Next round.
Even for me, and generally I'm locked into all these, I just don't feel it. I'm going tonight, whatever, that's fine, that's different, but I just don't feel, I'll watch them all.
Yeah.
I don't fall asleep again, but it is a different feel with the Caps. Now, look, maybe the Capitals win a game and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh.
And if it's 1-1 going back,
right now it feels like a series that should go in the Rangers
which usually doesn't with the first round history for the most part of the Rangers.
Just one quick question.
Yes,
when will you guys be locked into the Islanders series?
I mean, you got to ask Ken. I mean, what happened last night to your team there, Sal? You're 3-0. What the hell happened to the Isles?
I'll be locked.
You must be distraught.
I'll be locked into the Isles when they play the Rangers in round two.
Which is
not going to happen. You know, dude, that is a brutal loss by the Isles.
Listen, Carolina's, Carolina's so much better than
them. Yeah, I know,
as good as the Knicks win was, that is as, not only as improbable, But as, I mean, you just butt hurt. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, hurt period. Yes.
I mean, you're chapped. That one's going to bother you forever. Hoff, where are you guys sitting tonight, by the way?
I don't know. Where are we sitting, Sal? You know, you're the ones who got the tickets, I was
yeah,
told.
Yeah, I think in the lower bowl, but I'm not 100%
lower bowl.
Sure. Yeah, we got to figure that out.
A couple of hundred bucks a pop? I mean, we get a good deal on these? A couple of hundo a pop?
Yes. Over that.
Like 500?
No, no, okay, no, no, okay. No. Less than that.
No, I wouldn't be allowed to go.
Do we get a deal at least here?
Yes,
do you get hooked
I think
up
so.
A little bit?
I think good deal.
Okay,
face value deal.
Okay,
there you go.
Oh, no, okay. There you go.
Little contact going. Okay. Mitch and Fort Lee hooked us up, thankfully. So, and we pay. It's not cheap. Round one, 250 or whatever it is. I mean, it's, you know.
I get it.
Especially
get
for a
it.
Series where it's like, eh. You know, no,
especially,
take
you know, you have to save that money for the Islander games, too.
Yeah, no. Come on.
Oh, man.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. Get back to your calls on the other side. Talking next, we can throw in a little hockey as well. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.